Lesson 28 is the yoke on you. Living with Jesus. As Christians, we are living for Christ. Jesus has called us to follow him, and we have said yes. He has offered to walk through life beside us. Matthew 11, 29 through 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This image of two oxen wearing one yoke and pulling in the same direction is a beautiful picture of our life with Jesus. Amos 3:3 describes this relationship well. Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? No turning back. Once we have chosen to follow Jesus and be yoked with him, we have simultaneously decided not to walk with the world, the flesh, or the devil. We have declared ourselves to be on God's team. We are not going back or changing our minds. We are committed to love and obey God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Our decision to be a Christian is not one to be taken lightly. Luke 9:62 reminds us, Jesus said to him, no one puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Unequally yoked with unbelievers. When it comes to entering into a business partnership or being yoked with an unbeliever, Scripture is very clear that we are to avoid any such arrangement at all costs. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. Or, another translation says, don't be yoked with unbelievers. If we enter into a partnership with an unbeliever, we will be like two oxen pulling in different directions. This alliance will not work. Believers and unbelievers have very different value systems. A non-believer, regardless of their good intentions, is most likely living for money and self. As you read through Paul's advice to the Corinthians, take note of the extreme language he uses to make this point. Believers and unbelievers have nothing in common any more than Christ and the devil. 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. There is also an incredible promise in this passage. When we do choose to follow God exclusively, he promises to welcome us and be our Father. I am happy to walk away from unhealthy unions with unbelievers in order to have an amazing union with God the Father and be his Son. Don't pray about this. This very clear passage from 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18 not only applies to business relationships, but it also has application in the most important earthly contract you will ever make. When we are committed to following Jesus and have accepted his yoke, we are not to consider marrying an unbeliever. If you love God with everything in you, you will want to marry a believer who shares your love for God and his word. I can't imagine a lover of Jesus entering into a marriage covenant without God being the focus of the couple's new life as a team. Remember, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. Be very careful Not every person who goes to church regularly or who talks about loving God is a believer. Be cautious. Date the person long enough to discern their true devotion to God, whether he or she has a heartfelt obedience to his word and a humble and loving spirit that hates sin and loves righteousness. And please don't enter a lifelong contract with someone that you hope will convert to Jesus because of their love for you after the wedding. You don't have to ask anyone for counsel, nor do you have to pray about whether you should marry an unbeliever. God's word is abundantly clear. When Paul was teaching about marriage, he said these wise words in 1 Corinthians 7:39. A wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. If her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes, but only if he loves the Lord. Prudently and cautiously yoked. It is clear that we are not to enter into partnerships with unbelievers, but I think we should also be prudent and cautious about entering into partnerships and binding contracts, even with a fellow believer. Perhaps you want to start a painting business and share the responsibility with a partner. There are many questions you need to decide up front. Who will be the salesman seeking new houses to paint? Who will manage the other painters? What will happen if one of you wants to stop being a painter? What if you have a dispute because one partner seems to be working fewer hours than the other partner? You may have begun this partnership excited over the prospect of working with your good friend, but after a few months, your friendship may begin to suffer. Spell out your expectations before establishing your partnership. There are cases where it has worked, but it takes an extra dose of grace and a lot of careful planning. The older I get, the more I value godly friends. These friendships are priceless. If you do feel that you should be a partner with another brother or sister in Christ, apply all that I have said about prayer, counsel, contracts, and other things, and go slowly. Before you commit to the contractual relationship, put all of your expectations in writing. A contract may seem petty or less than trusting, but the clearer you are in the beginning about your expectations for one another, such as the ways you are each to be compensated and your individual responsibilities, the better off your relationship will be. Consider paying a third party to assist you in establishing your new relationship in black and white to ensure all the bases have been covered. There are businesses that specialize in helping people set up just such a working agreement. If you can't find one, use your family lawyer or accountant. Money and time invested in clarifying the expectations of all parties before entering a binding agreement will go far to establishing and preserving relationships. Hiring or working for friends and relatives. One of the most painful lessons I have had to learn had to do with a good friend and a work project. I had a friend from high school whom I discovered lived near us. We made arrangements to get together as families and did so on several occasions. He was a building contractor, and I needed to have dormers put on the second floor of our home. When I asked him about this, he said it was a job that he and I could knock out in a day. This was the first construction project I had ever hired out, but I remembered what he said about the job being able to be done in a day or two. So I gave him the green light, and he and his crew of three guys showed up one morning. I thought they would be done in one day or at most 2 days. After the first day, the equipment was set up and a hole had been cut into our roof. After 2 days, one of the dormers was framed and things were moving along, but slowly. We had to go away for several days, so I expected to return and find all the work completed. When we arrived home, the job was almost complete except for two guys who were very slowly putting the finishing touches on the siding. It was painful to watch how slowly they worked. When the job was completed, my friend presented me with a bill which was about five times what I had in my mind. If I had asked for an estimate in the beginning, I would have known whether or not I could have afforded this price. And if I hadn't witnessed the two turtles finishing up the job, I would have paid the final bill more willingly. Needless to say, I wasn't happy about the bill, and my friend and I had an uncomfortable and unpleasant discussion. He lowered the price somewhat, and I paid him that amount. Shortly thereafter, I sent him money to pay the full amount of the original bill. But despite my repeated phone calls, we didn't speak for almost 20 years. I grieved over this broken friendship and prayed for reconciliation for over 2 decades. 2 years ago, God answered and we have been reconciled. However, all of this unnecessary pain could have been avoided if I had followed basic principles of common sense that are revealed in the Bible. I learned the hard way that what Proverbs says in the 18th chapter and 19th verse is true. A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city, and quarreling is like the bars of a castle. Let's pray. Father, save us from ungodly partnerships. Help us to live fully for Jesus and his kingdom. Assist us in being wise in the matter of relationships. Cause us to be honorable in all of our dealings. For we ask and pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.